Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10. Now this verse says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." And when you read that proverb, I'll read it to you again several times, but when you read that proverb, it may appear at first glance to be very difficult to understand. I mean, what does that mean, "the heart knoweth his own bitterness"? What does that mean? And more importantly, what does "and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy"? Well, you can go and you can check out other translations. You can go back to the Hebrew and all that kind of stuff and read the commentaries and try to figure out what it says. And you know what you're going to conclude? It says what it says. It says what it says. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. That's what it says. And that's what it means. "And a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." And that's exactly what it means. You see, "the heart knoweth his own bitterness" means that you and you alone are responsible for the bitterness in your heart. And you know what it is. And when a man has joy, no stranger is going to come along and interfere with that joy, or no stranger is going to come along and ever understand completely what that joy is all about. He's not going to get mixed up in it and be able to feel the same joy as the person that has it. In other words, this verse is talking about individual experiences in life that are both bitter and joyful. And nobody else is going to be able to go through those experiences in life with you and be able to feel the same bitterness or feel the same joy that you feel. These are private matters. And as a result, this verse is very contrary to today's philosophies. Because today the world doesn't want you to be able to enjoy the things that you enjoy in private. And the world today wants to get in the middle of your bitterness and put the finger in there and stir it up and get it all talked about. And the Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are some experiences in life that are very personal, and they're left to be personal, and that's the way they are to remain. I have the opportunity from time to time to preach, as a matter of fact, every week that I'm here, to preach for ladies at the Jubilee and try to be a help just by giving something from the Scriptures. And I remind them from time to time, "I don't know what you did. I don't know why you're here. I don't want to know." You know the reason I say that? Because those experiences are private. Those are their experiences, and they need to be left there. But the world's not like that. They want to get into the nitty-gritty. They want to know what you did. They want to know how you came to the feelings that you've come to and how you've experienced the joys and heartaches that you've experienced. And the Bible says those things are private. Now, what this verse has to do, it has to do with how we deal with bitterness and what we can expect from joy. And so let's get right into it. When dealing with bitterness, let me stop here before I get it right into it and say this. Look, in your life, I'm talking to you, in your life, if you have lived any time at all, you have experienced bitter experiences. Family problems, financial problems, marital problems, personal problems, health problems, spiritual problems, mental problems, somewhere along the way, something in this world has been a very, very bitter pill for you to swallow, if you've lived any length of time at all. And if you haven't experienced a bitter experience yet, you will. Just as a preacher said one time, just keep living. You will. It's just the way those things are. Now, when dealing with bitterness, if you've experienced it, you need what you're going to hear. Number one, you know what the problem is. When dealing with bitterness, you know what the problem is. The Bible says the heart knoweth his own bitterness. You know what it is. You may not want to admit what it is, and you may not want to deal with what it is, but you know what it is. Because the Bible says the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Many people today deny that they are bitter. They're really bitter on the inside, but they've got to function in public, and so they go to work, and they come home, and they tell their children, and they tell their spouses, and they go to church, and they tell their friends, oh, yeah, everything's okay. How are you? Oh, fine, fine. And inside, you're just dissolving. Your heart is just melting away with bitterness. And you've told the story so long to so many people that have asked how you're doing, you've actually come to believe yourself that you are good to live with what you've got the way you are. And so you start denying that you're bitter. And you're only lying to yourself. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then he says, I, the Lord, try the reins. Now the Lord knows, and you know. You know it. If you have emotional or mental or physical troubles related to psychological problems, you know what the problem is. A lot of people think they've got to go to the psychologist and dig through all of their past and all of their stuff to put their finger on the problem. And the whole time, if you would just sit down for about, I don't know, 30 minutes, 2 days, 3 days, whatever, and start being very, very honest with yourself, you could dig that thing out for yourself. You could see it. It's just like finding a splinter. You know where the sore spot is. You can, if you press the thing hard enough, you can see the little black spot under the skin of the little splinter that's in there, the little darker spot that's there. You know where it is. You can get the needle. You can start digging. But a lot of people want to deny that the thing is there, deep-seated. Why? Because they're ashamed of it. Deep down, because you know your own bitterness and you know your contribution to that bitterness, you don't want to admit that you feel bad about a particular experience because other people might say, ha, what does that make you so upset for? Why does that bother you? A lot of people are afraid of the bitterness and try to cover it. And in so doing, you've got to inebriate the feeling that's associated with the bitterness. So you start using drugs. You start using alcohol. You start abusing sexual relations. Those are the typical problems. Some people that get farther along with it will start using self-mutilation, cutting, and things like that to deal with the problems. And people will come along and realize that you've got emotional problems and difficult problems that you're dealing with, and they'll say, well, you know what he needs? He needs a group session or a counselor to walk him through the problem. But not according to this text. This text right here says you know what the bitterness is. You're just refusing to deal with it. You know, and I'll tell you, honestly, it's really funny, but a lot of times in group sessions, people will start talking about the various problems they're having, and one problem will come out, and the other guy will say, well, you know, that's what my problem is. And he'll latch on to somebody else's, and he'll try to work out his problems, piggybacking somebody else's deal, and you can't do that. You may be afraid to deal with the bitterness, and it may be causing you some problems, like lashing out at others and blaming them for what problems you're having. But you know something? All you're doing is putting off the work that you have to do. You know exactly what the problem is. You just don't want to change it, or you are afraid to change it because you have learned a pattern of behavior that goes along with that bitterness that allows you to protect the bitterness that you have, and you will not. You refuse to deal with it. You're going to make other people pay. And so you decide in your bitterness that you'll lash out at them and somehow or another manipulate them and cause them to feel some of the pain that you're feeling. And find comfort in it because misery loves company. You don't want to do what it takes to get rid of the bitterness because it involves hard work and you know it. It means you have to change and you don't want to change. Well, don't fool yourself another day into believing that you don't know the source of the trouble. You know exactly what it is. I'll tell you honestly, I believe that in some counseling sessions, the power of suggestion is so strong. And please understand something. Before I go any further, there are some Christian counselors literally that do a very fine job at the work they do. As a matter of fact, there are times when we've had people that have had personal things they've needed to discuss with somebody. They're of a personal nature that I, as their pastor, have absolutely no business hearing because they'll know that I know those secret things about them, and they'll also be afraid that when I preach, I'm actually speaking to them sort of you know, by addressing the whole group, I'm speaking to them individually about their personal problems and that they're supposed to learn from what I'm saying, and I wouldn't do that to people. And the safest way to deal with it is to simply refer them to a very good, qualified Christian counselor and let that person walk through the problems with them. They're not going to have to deal with the person later. They don't have to worry that their pastor is then somehow in on the know and somehow letting the rest of the congregation know by the things that he's preaching and what he's saying. I've done that. I've referred some folks to that because this gives them an opportunity to work with somebody on the problems they're trying to work out for themselves. But what I'm getting at, and the reason I said that is simply so you wouldn't think that everybody that's in counseling is a bad person, is I don't want you to get that impression. The point is, you're still the one that has to do the work. If the counselor is there, the counselor is not doing the work for you. And if you expect that he should, you're wasting your money and your time. You are going to do the work. The counselor is simply going to be there to referee the thing so that you do the work properly. But you're the one, and a lot of people don't want to have to do that kind of work to get rid of the anger or the bitterness because it's hard work. It takes a lot of personal self-admission of admitting the things you know that you haven't wanted to deal with and you don't want to do it. All right, so when dealing with bitterness, you know what the problem is according to this text. And the second thing is the problem is your problem. Notice what he said, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. It's your problem. It's your own problem, his own bitterness. People often blame the bitterness that they're experiencing on other people. Now, there's some experiences that you'll go through in life that may hurt you, but when that hurt turns to bitterness, it's your fault. You've let it go to that point, and you refuse to believe that the bitterness is self-inflicted. And you do that so you can let yourself continue to get away with the bitter feeling without having to accept responsibility for the feeling that you have. You get to blame somebody else and still feel miserable. And you've felt bitter for so long that you've actually found comfort and self-pity in the misery that's associated with the bitterness, and you don't want to change it, and you don't want to admit that you did it to yourself. You still want, for convenience sake, to blame it on somebody else, a spouse, a child, a friend, a relative, a business associate, a pastor, somebody else. It has to be somebody else's fault. But the Bible says it's not. It's yours. The bitterness is yours, and you are the only one who can get rid of it. You say, you know, you're being cruel to me because you don't know what I've been through and you don't know why I feel the way that I feel and you don't understand those experiences that I've walked through in life. You know something? You're absolutely right. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what it is in your life that's caused you to be bitter. But I do know this. You, in the bitter experiences of life, do not have to become bitter. Because there are other people who have been just through the same thing that you've gone through or have been through worse things than you're going through, and they're not bitter. And you hate to hear that. Yeah, you keep telling me that, but you don't understand. My deal is worse than theirs. No, that little statement right there is simply a cover that allows you to continue to be bitter and poison others with your bitterness without having to take responsibility for the way you feel. That's all that statement is. Now, I don't do psychology and counseling on that stuff. I'm preaching a text to you, and the proverb says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and it is your bitterness, and you're the one that has to deal with it. That's the third point. You are the one who has to fix it. Now, let me show you something here before we go to that, okay? We first said you know what the problem is, and you really do. If you'll just sit down and be honest with yourself for about 30 minutes or maybe 2 or 3 days and really get down to it, you are going to get through the fear of actually dealing with the source of the problem and the self-admission that lets you know that you ought to be ashamed of the way you feel. All that's junk. When you get down to it, you'll find out what the problem is. You know it's right there. Now look at Paul. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 said, not only do you know what the problem is your own. Look what Paul said. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7, we have this treasure, talking about salvation, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Watch it. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's Paul. Now, Paul was the star. Paul was the apostle that worked harder than any other apostle, by his own admission, to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ and to plant churches and to encourage those churches that had been planted to live right for Jesus. That was his ministry. He was God's chosen vessel. Now look at God's man. Here's the big shot. Here's the one that ought to have the Lincoln Continental and the 14-room mansion and the servants and the whole thing. Here he is. Here's your man. Here's your big shot, puffed up, great apostle of all apostles, Paul the apostle. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Man, you mean to tell me that's the way that God takes care of his star apostle? Well, that there is nothing but a bucket of soup. That's a terrible life. All that stuff that he had to go through, and that's the way that God takes care of his man? Well, let me tell you something. In all of that, Paul didn't get bitter. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, after being treated so royally by God Almighty and all the people to whom he ministered, Paul said that God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He said, "Bring it on, man, because the more of this I get, the stronger I get in the grace of God. Therefore, I take pleasure," not bitterness, "pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." What an amazing testimony. Now that stuff that Paul went through there, the beatings, the stonings, the imprisonments, the starvation, the fastings, the sickness, the shipwreckness, that's a coined word, the imprisonments, all of that stuff that he went through, he never got bitter. Instead, he said, "I take pleasure in infirmities." You think the guy was a kook, but he wasn't. You know what it says? You can go through the experiences that you've gone through in life seeking the grace of God, which is what he relied upon, for the strength of Christ Almighty, and get through the experience without bitterness. It's yours. All right, so if the heart knoweth his own bitterness, then you know what the problem is. The problem is your own. And the third thing is, you're the one that has to fix it. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Well, if it's yours, then you're the only one that can fix it. Nobody else can fix it. You say, "Well, Jesus can." Yeah, of course. But I mean, if you sit here and pray all the time, "Okay, Jesus, take this away from me," he's not the one that gave it to you. It's yours. Listen, I don't mean to minimize or demean any horrible, terrible experience that you've gone through in life, particularly the ones you've gone through that are worse than the ones I've gone through. I've gone through a few, but undoubtedly not nearly as many or as harsh as you've been through. I'm not trying to minimize those at all. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to help you see from the Word of God that if the heart knoweth his own bitterness, then you're the one that can fix it. Hebrews 12:15. Look at it. I'll show you two verses because I don't want you to think that I'm just talking off the top of my head or pulling a rabbit out of the hat or any of that other stuff. It's Bible. Hebrews 12:15. Now look at it carefully. Listen to it carefully. Hebrews 12:15. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Now what does that say? It says, you look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. When a man fails of the grace of God, then he has an opportunity for the root of bitterness to spring up and trouble him. Who's responsible? He is. "If any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." See, you got to do something. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'll show you one more. "In the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established." Ephesians chapter 4, you couldn't miss it. It's even plainer in this passage in verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Look what he says. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You got to do it. "Let all bitterness be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You have got to do the work. You are the one who has to fix it. Now, of course, you need to pray for strength and grace and wisdom and comfort and joy to get you through it. But you can't wait on anyone else to come along and have pity on you and fix the bitterness for you.
If he would only come back and tell me he's sorry, then I wouldn't feel this way.
No, you're wasting your time. You've got to fix it. You've got to trust the grace of God, seek the wisdom of God, the strength of Jesus Christ, the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God, and the fruit of the Spirit, which is his joy, to get you through it. You have got to make the move, unless you want to live bitter the rest of your life and defile many. Now, let me say this before we move on to something else. Sometimes, the bitterness is related to something that only God can fix. And then there is not another soul in this universe other than Jesus Christ who can minister to you until the time that God fixes the bitter experience. Your heart knows the bitterness. You know where it came from, but no one else can even come close to understanding. Why? The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Nobody else can understand it. Nobody. You take Job. That's something that was brought on him by permission of God at the hand of the devil. Nobody in this world, nobody in this universe besides Jesus Christ could understand what Job was going through. And Jesus Christ went through it himself. Job said in Job 7:11, "Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." And his three friends who legitimately came to comfort him were absolutely out of bounds when they tried to help him, because there's no way in the world they could understand what he was going through. They just couldn't figure it out. They tried the self-righteous thing. They tried the you're a sinner thing. They tried the you're out of fellowship with God thing. They tried everything they could possibly figure. There's no way in the world. Why? It was Job's own bitterness, and Job and Job alone, with the help of Jesus Christ, would be able to figure out what it was. And God could, it did not go away until God had a chance to get with Job, ask him a bunch of questions that he couldn't answer, and then turn that thing for Job by doubling his possessions and bringing his children back. It's the only way. God had to fix it. 1 Samuel 1:10 is only one other example of this. Here's poor Hannah, and she wants to have a baby in the worst sort of way. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 1:10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. There's only one thing that was going to solve that bitterness. Only one. The birth of Samuel. It's only one. It's nothing anybody else in this world could possibly do. So if the bitterness is not brought on by a bitter experience that you can control, even though you know what the problem is, and the problem is your own, and you're the one that has to fix it, if it's something that God's brought you away, and it may very well be, then there's nothing in the world you can do until God himself fixes it. And in the meantime, you need grace and comfort and the Spirit of God and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ and joy that can only come from the Holy Spirit of God, like Paul got, to get you through it, because nobody else on this earth is going to be able to walk you through it. Nobody. And for you to expect that they will is to put too much on them. For you to say to them, "I wouldn't feel this way if you weren't treating me like that," you're out of bounds. It's something God's going to have to do with you. Now listen, today, the old phrase, tell me about it, seems to be the key phrase. Group therapy, group counseling sessions, they've even moved those into churches. Nothing is private anymore. Everyone feels better, supposedly, by telling their deepest problems. And according to this text, this stuff is supposed to be left with you, and you are the one that has to work it out between you and God Almighty. And thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You're never going to be alone in this with the Lord Jesus Christ if you'll allow him to help you through those experiences. All right? Now, there's one other part to this verse, and by simply giving you a little bit of light on it and comparing it with the stuff we've heard already, you'll be able to understand it. And that is the second part of Proverbs 14:10, which says, "And a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." So that means that if the bitter experience is yours and yours alone, and it's private and nobody else can understand it unless it's something between you and the Lord, and you're the one that has to work it out, likewise, the joy is yours. And a stranger coming along to try to get into that joy with you to feel it and to understand it he's out of bounds. A stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. A stranger cannot possibly understand the joy of someone who has experienced true joy. He just can't. There's no way that a man will ever understand the joy of a woman who has just brought forth a child, a healthy child. There's no way. And I say a healthy child. There are mothers that have brought forth children who are not healthy by medical standards because they have some sort of an illness, some sort of a mental problem, some sort of a challenge, they call it today. And the mothers get some tremendous joy out of the experience they have with that child, and nobody else is going to understand it. They may be trying to put it in words for you, but who's going to understand it? Nobody. The idea that the media can interview an athlete to let the rest of the world know what it feels like to be a champion, that's just the height of ridiculous. There's no possible way for anybody to be able to explain to you what that joy is like. You didn't go through the pain. You didn't go through the suffering. You didn't go through the rigorous exercise, the rigorous discipline and training program, the rigorous diet. You didn't go through any of that. There's no way in the world you could possibly understand the joy. And you know what that means? If the joy cannot be intermeddled with by a stranger, then if you really want to know what it is to have joy, you and you alone are going to have to go out and you are going to have to get your own joy. The idea that you can sit in front of a television set and watch Tiger Woods win a championship or, you know, name it. I mean, I just picked that because it's something he's done, Grand Slam tournaments or whatever they call it. There's no way you're going to sit there on the sofa and be able to experience what he experiences when he wins those things. You're going to have to go out and get your own joy. And I'll tell you, a good place to start is Galatians 5:22. The idea that you can experience this vicariously through somebody else's joy ain't going to happen. It might make you wipe a few tears out of your eyes, but it's not going to be like doing it yourself. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You want some joy? Why don't you get filled with the Spirit of God? No stranger is going to intermeddle with that joy. He's not going to be able to limit it when it comes from the Spirit of God, and he's not going to be able to understand it unless he has his own. It's private. It's yours. And if you want some, you're going to have to get your own. Now, that old verse that we just studied right there is a very practical verse. I know it runs very contrary to society today. It's very contrary to today's philosophies about tell it all, share it with everybody. But I'm going to tell you, if you really want this stuff to work and work right, you're going to have to do it God's way. And there's God's way right there. Now, I'll say this. If you're going through a bitter experience that God Almighty has brought your way, I feel for you. I can't fix it. I can pray for you. But you're going to have to simply seek God's joy and trust him until he turns that bitter experience to joy like he did for Job and for Hannah. And I'm devastated that you have to go through it. That's a very difficult thing. But nonetheless, it's yours, and God can fix it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-641. 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.